Howdy, Pastor Mark Driscoll here from Mars Hill Church in Seattle. One of my favorite books of the Bible is Proverbs. It is intensely practical and altogether helpful. And since this week I'm out of the pulpit, I thought it would be nice to share with you a big Bible study that I do at our Ballard campus that is going through the book of Proverbs. You'll find it a little different than a sermon. It's more of an informal discussion with some questions for you at the end to help you grow in relationship with God and the practice of wise living. Well, tonight we're talking about planning in the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we will get right to work. And you do have the notes. They should help you to follow along. Father God, I pray that our time would be helpful, practical. And Lord God, for those who have the gift of administration and find some of this real natural, may they be gracious with those of us who struggle to not only make a plan, but even plan to make a plan. And so God, just ask that we would learn to live our lives in a way that is fitting and orderly, like the scriptures talk about. Not so that we could be in control and have everything lined up, but so that we could be effective, we could leave time for worship and Sabbath and friends and joy. And so, God, we ask for wisdom that we might follow the plans that you would have for us. In Jesus' good name, amen. All right, we're going to talk about planning out of the book of Proverbs. And the big idea is this, that most people spend all their energy working in their life. Just paying the bills, reacting to emails, phone calls, crises, needs, home repairs. If you got kids, the list just grows real fast. And what I want to do tonight when we talk about planning is pull back and talk about working on your life, not just in it. Most people that are working in their life are constantly in a reaction mode, just sort of crisis and need and urgency and lack and want and forgetfulness and frustration. And I want to give you some planning ideas out of Proverbs so that you're not just stuck working in your life. That can get pretty exhausting and discouraging. But to work on your life, that's actually really hopeful. And I hope it'll be of encouragement to you. So we'll walk through a few things Proverbs says. The first is do not plan evil. I know that seems pretty obvious, but it's amazing how many people are really good planners for evil. Planning on how to get away with things so that their parents don't catch them if they're teenagers, planning how to do things so that their boss doesn't catch them or their pastors don't catch them or their Christian friends don't catch them or their spouse doesn't catch them. These are secret, shameful ways of trying to organize our life so we don't get caught. And Proverbs 3:29 says, do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Proverbs 6:16-18, it says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him, and one, he says, is a heart that devises wicked plans. In Proverbs 24:8, whoever plans to do evil will be called a schemer. And so the first thing I want you to look at in your own heart and life is, do you have any plans that are for evil? Any plans that you're hoping not to get caught? It's a good time to repent and say, those plans are wicked. Those plans are not of the Lord. Those are not the kinds of plans that God intends for me to have. And a lot of people spend a lot of their time either not planning or planning to do evil. Proceeding forward, if you want to make a good plan, here are some things that Proverbs says. And let me preface it by saying this. God even has plans. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. It says in Ephesians that salvation is a plan that he has worked out, that God plans, and that we are to follow in God's example, and we are to plan. And so as I talk generally about planning, I'll give you some specific exercises at the end, but it's looking at your life, your time, you've got to plan it, your money, you've got to plan it, your health, you've got to plan for it, your home, your possessions, your friendships, your family, children, marriage, everything needs a plan. And planning begins with prayer. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. It all starts with prayer. Jesus, before he chooses his 12 disciples and sort of begins his public ministry, he spends time in prayer. And one of the things you'll want to know is that they have proven, those who do the research, that time spent planning actually saves time working. So if you spend time working on your home, working on your health, working on your budget, it'll save you time and energy and money. It just ultimately does. So time spent planning is actually well-invested time, and the most important beginning place is prayer. It's just getting alone with God and talking to Him. For me, I'll tell you what this looks like. When I have big plans to make, I do silence and solitude. I get out of town. I got an email from, for example, Pastor Jamie last night, and we're thinking through kind of the next 10 years of Mars Hill and where we're going. And he said, I'll be gone tomorrow. I'm getting a day of silence and solitude and prayer and planning. He's just getting a whole day, turn off his cell phone, turn off his email, get with Jesus, think through his thoughts, read his Bible, listen, go for some prayer walks, and just prayerfully start to think through how to put his life together, how to put the church together. And just so you know, this is what all your elders do. I'm a real big proponent of silence and solitude and prayer to plan. Getting alone with Jesus just to talk to him, listen to him, and figure out what he has for me to do. And so we practice this as your elders, and I would so encourage it for you. Before you get in a serious relationship, before you start your family, before you buy a home, before you take a job, before you pick a career, before you make a major life decision, before you relocate to another city for a job, those kinds of huge decisions, make a plan and begin your plan with silence and solitude and time and prayer. Those kind of big issues really need to be prayed through for two reasons. It'll give you a clarity of thought, and it'll give you confidence to proceed forward. Some of you, you're not real confident in your life because you're not sure what God would have for you. Prayer helps you be certain of what you're supposed to do. For example, Gracie and I, before we started Mars Hill, we took a whole week of just prayer and fasting. And we were planning out the church together and our family and children and how we were going to do life together in ministry. And that was a very important week. It gave us confidence. We're doing what God wants. And it gave us hope because we had a plan on how we were going to do some things. So it starts with prayer. And then proceeding forward, good planning includes counsel. Plan with counsel. Some of you don't seek counsel because you're proud. You don't think you have anything to learn. Some of you, you don't want to intrude and impose on other people. But it's okay. If you have people that are around you and love you, if you have the opportunity to ask questions, that's one of the reasons we're here as a church, is to give counsel. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail. So without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. In Proverbs 20:18, plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. I'm having a hard time speaking the English language tonight. I'll try that again. Proverbs 20:18, plans are established by wise counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. That plans require counselors. Okay. So let's say, for example, you're someone who's choosing a college. Seek counsel. You're someone who's choosing a major. Seek counsel. You're someone who's considering a serious dating, courting type relationship. Seek counsel. You're choosing a career path. You're choosing where you will live. You're looking at purchasing a home. You're looking at making some investments. You're putting together your budget. You're deciding it's time to start your family, and mom's going to come home, and there's going to be a huge life adjustment to accommodate children. You're deciding it's time to retire, or maybe to downsize, or you need to pay off debt. Whatever it is that you're looking at, your health, you need to drop weight, you need to exercise more, you need to make some dietary changes. All of that is greatly benefited by seeking counsel. Without the right counsel, it doesn't matter how smart you are, you're going to make the wrong plan, and then you will reap the consequences of a poor plan. I can honestly tell you the biggest mistakes I've ever made in my whole life, it's because I didn't seek out sufficient counsel. Just didn't do it. And like I say, sometimes it's because we're proud, we think we know what we're doing, and sometimes because we don't want to bug other people, we don't want to be intruding on their life. But truly, counsel is exceedingly helpful, and I'll keep selling it throughout the course of the night. I'm a huge believer in simple things like a moleskin. Nice little notebook, cheap one, you could tear the pages out. But what I'll even do is as I'm putting together plans, I will have certain things I'm trying to figure out. And as I meet people or meet with people or God in His providence puts people in my path, they'll give me counsel. Sometimes people don't even know they're giving me counsel. and I'll make notes. And then it helps me collect information in one place to make my plans. What am I going to do? How is this going to work? Those kinds of things. So it begins with prayer. It proceeds forward with counsel. And once you have your plan, and we'll talk about how to make plans, you've got to work your plan. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. First thing he says is, you can't be hasty. Some of you are. Hasty in relationships, hasty in investments, hasty in purchases, hasty in friendships, and he says, you come to poverty. You really pay for that. The better thing to do is to make your plan, he says, through counsel and then be diligent. Right now, I'm guessing most of you have some sort of budget, and if you're struggling, it's because you're not doing it. Some of you have a really good diet that you did for a whole day. It totally worked for that whole day, and you're not doing it. You have an exercise program. Some of you right now, you go to your house, you say, I have a treadmill / coat rack. All right. There's a lot of laundry on it. It's now been repurposed, right? That's not diligent. Diligence is, if I buy the exercise equipment, I'm going to use it. If I'm going to start an investment, I'm going to keep investing in it. If I am going to, for example, begin a ministry, I'm going to see it through to fruition. I'm going to finish the things that I start. I'm going to be a closer, a person who makes a plan and continues forward with it. And that's really important. I'll just tell you this. I'm like a really committed, stubborn, forward progress fullback. That's how I get a lot done. I just keep my feet moving and I just refuse to quit. And I see a lot of people who they'll try something and if it doesn't work, they'll try something else. And if it doesn't work, they'll try something else. And rather than having a plan, they're just absolutely hoping that something sticks. And nothing ever does because it takes a plan with diligence. You've got to have a plan and you've got to keep working on it. I've been working on Mars Hill technically since a few months after I became a Christian. God spoke to me and said to become a pastor and start this church. So I started studying all through college, reading books, almost a book a day through college and graduation and making plans and meeting with people and doing interviews. It was years of preparation. I probably could have used even more years, but the years were used well. And then once we start Mars Hill, man, so far it's been 12 years of work, just pushing, 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 pushing forward. Grace and I recently had our 20th Valentine's Day together. And it's just diligence. You keep working on the relationship, keep working on the marriage, keep working on life together. Diligence. Just that sanctified stubbornness that if you're doing what God wants you to do and you're doing it efficiently and you've sought counsel and you've prayed and you've got a good plan, you just keep going. You keep pushing forward. And then he says, lastly, as needed, you're going to need to alter your plan. Some people, they are so committed to their plan that when it's not most effective or it's not working, they're unwilling to make adjustments. Sometimes that's because they're proud and they say, well, I made a plan and I'm going to do it. Other times it's because they are creatures of habit and they just don't like to change. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. What he says is this, you can pray, seek counsel, make a plan, start to put life together, particularly in an area of life. And you know what? God might intervene and it may go a direction you just were not intending at all. I know this with one couple recently. They planned to get married young. They planned to work for about 5 years and raise enough money for the down payment of their home. And they were saving very diligently and they were working very hard and they were using birth control. And she got pregnant. Plans change because God apparently wants them to have a baby right now. Now, they had a good plan, and I wouldn't say anything ill of their plan. They got married young, they love each other, they're working hard, they're saving, they've got a great plan. Wouldn't even say anything negative about their use of birth control. They're like 19, 20 years old. They just wanted to wait a couple years and get a few things in order. But it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. There's a baby. Okay, we need to alter the plan. And that's how life is. You make plans and you walk in them. And in the middle, you say, well, we got to alter a plan. Your spouse gets sick. Your health goes bad. One of your children is born with a disability, or there's a rough season, or you get unemployed. Things happen, and you have to alter the plan as you go. Now, some of you will get discouraged, and you'll say, why even make a plan if I got to keep changing it? Well, if you don't have any plan, your life is going to be in total flux and constant chaos. At least if you have a plan, you can make adjustments to it. That is far more effective than having no plan at all. Now, let me say a bunch of things practically about planning. I'm a natural planner. I'm a freakish planner. I literally have my schedule. It's, what is it, February 2009. I have things booked through 2012. Preaching, teaching, travel, writing. I have it teed up through 2012. I'm a really freakish planner. I have to be tight with my schedule and my travel, and it's gotten even more so over the years. And I'm married to the most amazing woman who is not a planner. And I find that generally planners don't marry planners. If they do, they're annoying but effective, okay? These are the people who have plans on their plans. So I'll tell you some things I told Gracie. The first is this: you have to write your plan down. You can also type it up, but you have to have it recorded. Some of you have plans, but they're in your head. It's really hard to modify those, and if you're married, it's really hard to share those. Now, most of my plans start in a moleskin. I'm not a guy who works first on a computer. I love my Mac, and I have a billion files on there. But for me, I like to keep a moleskin by me at all times, and I'll make notes. So I've got categories of things in here, books and travel and family and holidays or whatever it is I need to put together. So for Grace, it was grocery list. Put some pages in there for that. You know, spending, because we went to a cash system. Put it in there. Prayer requests for people, put it in there. Things God is teaching you, put it in there. Verses you feel God is calling you to memorize, put them in there. Things you observe about the kids that would help us be better parents, put it in there. Gifts that you would like to buy for your friends, because she's a real gift giver, put it in there. And so a lot of things start with plans that are sort of hen scratched out. And as they get more formalized, then I told her, I write them down by typing them into the computer. And I would say everything needs to be written in one place. Don't be one of those people with 50,000 sticky notes and pieces of paper and you write stuff on the back of the receipt. That was my wife. I noticed this one time when she had this huge purse. And I looked in there, because I never had, and I did so with permission. I asked her, I said, that is a huge purse. It should have like a handle and wheels. This was an enormous purse. And I said, do you mind if I look in your purse? She said, no, that's fine. I looked in there. It was receipts and scraps of paper and little business cards and all of the. I said, what is this? She said, well, this receipt has directions to my friend's house in Mukilteo. And this receipt has somebody's birthday that I went to high school with. And I've had this since 1984. And I'm just like, you know, this is not the best way to do it. She says it's all in one place. Yeah, it's in one enormous pile in a bag. That is not a system. And she would always find things right after we needed them. That's always the way those systems work. And what I'll show you in the moleskin, I do have undiagnosed OCD. It has in the back a little pocket you can put things in. I find that particularly wonderful. And in the back of my moleskin is a to-do list where I just write down things I need to do, and then I can rip it out when it's done, and I black things out as I go, and then I do a long-term to-do list. And I think what happens with most people is they use systems that are far too complicated. Far too complicated. Like I have one friend of mine, he's got one of those Covey 7 things, 27,000, you know, page binder with 50 tabs. And I asked him, I said, how's it going? He's like, I don't know, man. It's just, I forgot how to use it. I'm like, well, you know what? This, even those of us who went to public school, we can use this. Just write it all down, put it in there. When it's full, throw it away and use the handy dandy pocket in the back. So the first thing is everything needs to be written down in one place. Okay? Number two, when you make a plan, you've always got to consider the downside. Some of you are eternal optimists and you don't know there might be a downside. Okay, what if you do buy that home? What's the downside? If you do make that investment, what's the downside? So your plan always has to include contingency plans. What if that doesn't work? What am I going to do? Number three, always include fun and margin for error in your plans. Some of you need to give yourself permission for a day off, a little fun, a little Sabbath. Okay? Particularly when it comes to planning your life. I tend to be one of those guys that for years I didn't plan days off, I didn't plan vacations, I didn't plan fun. Until 10 years into my job, I blew out my adrenal glands. I was sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night. I went to my doctor and my doctor said, "You need a new job." It's like, well, Jesus told me to do this one. They said, well, then you better change what you're doing. So I got a different doctor. I did make a change. My next doctor was a Christian, and the first thing he started asking me was silence, solitude, vacations, days off. He said, "What do you do for fun?" I was like, "I play with my kids, but I don't like have hobbies. I don't have friends. I don't like do things." He's like, "Do you think you should?" I was like, "Maybe that would help." Because what I do is I'd work and I'd hang out with my family for 10 years. And I'd work 70, 80, 90 hours a week and hang out with my family. That was it. I never planned to have any fun. Now I plan for fun. Usually it includes Grace and or the kids, depending upon what's going on. But even like today, I put a couple hour block in my schedule for fun. And the weather was nice, so I got to come home and just play ball with my kids. And you know what? It was wonderful. And I praise God for that. What else can I say? I'll just give you a few more. The next one I would say is accept the size of your plate. How many of you are big plate people? You can handle a lot. People look at you, they're like, "I don't know how you do it. You're insane. You're freakish. Are you on steroids?" They ask questions like that. Some of you, it is not a platter. You're like a dinner roll plate. You know? Your plate's not real big. You're like, "I was going to do two things, but that was one too many. I don't have a big plate. I got a little plate." And the key is to know how big your plate is, accept the size of your plate, keep it full, and if you're going to go put something on your plate, you got to take something off your plate, right? If you're in one organization and you want to volunteer at another organization, you probably got to choose between the two. If you're going to commit yourself to serving in one particular ministry, well, then something else you're doing needs to come off the plate. All right? You decide you're going to have another child, praise God, children are a blessing. That means some stuff's got to come off the plate. The problem with planning is most people will fill up their plate and then they'll start throwing other things on their plate to where it's all falling off the plate. And that's when you're late, you're broke, you're burned out, you don't have any margin because the plate is totally full and just keep stacking stuff on it. A couple things I would use for encouragement as well. The next would be, use technology, but don't use it in such a way that it rules over you like God. Technology can ruin everything. Know when to turn off your, put in your plan, your life plan. When are you going to turn off your phone? It shouldn't be on 24 hours a day. When are you going to check your email? If you don't plan when you're going to check your email, it's going to disrupt your life constantly. It is just really sad today that there are people who ignore their children, they ignore their spouse, they ignore their friends because they're constantly addicted to their technology. I saw this at a Red Robin sitting there with my family. The kids wanted to go. And all around us, there were families, and none of the dads were engaged in any conversation with the kids. They were all checking scores, returning emails, and talking on the phone. I thought, you know, that's not a good plan. It's not a good plan to ignore your children and submit to your technology. So it's good to use technology, but don't let it rule over you. Don't let it dominate you. And what I find is that if you do so, eventually you're not going to have any plans because you'll constantly be reacting to all the phone calls and emails and text messages that may come to you rather than having time to clear your head, pray, and work on your life, you're going to be stuck reacting to people and working in your life. And it is going to be exhausting. And some of you are real extroverts and you're people lovers. Maybe you're people pleasers, which isn't a good thing. Boy, that's really going to get you in some serious trouble. So what's your plan even for your technology? One other thing I'll say as well, sync up your plan with your spouse and your family. I'll tell you how this works for Gracie and I. We're doing really, really well. The last few years have honestly, in this area, been wonderful for us. I got a Mac and I bought her a Mac. So we're all on the same systems and hardware and software. Every Monday we meet just for a little sync meeting. And we walk through the schedule that week. Okay, what's for dinner? When are you going to be home? When are you not going to be home? When do the kids have practice? When do they have parent-teacher just what's going on? Oh, there's a birthday coming up. What are we doing for that birthday? There's a holiday. There's a three-day weekend. Mark, you got to travel. What's your flight times? Just we actually walk through every day for about a month ahead. And then we look down the road if there's anything else we need to look at, like vacations or travel or we've got a big bill coming due or a home project we need to start saving for. And so for us, it's this issue of just putting our life together. And then I know, for example, like Tuesday, Grace, for example, this week had a meeting with someone. And so she just wanted me to be praying for her. She said, I got a meeting on Tuesday I'm a little concerned about. I was like, okay, explain that. She did. So then during the day, I could text message, okay, I know you're going into your meeting. I'm praying for you. When she comes out of her meeting, I can put it on my schedule, block out 15 minutes just to call Grace. Okay, how did the meeting go, sweetheart? Did everything go okay? Anything I need to know about? And it's just being able to be attentive to her by knowing what's going on in her world. And she knows what's going on in my world. Otherwise, what happens is you just live these parallel lives as a married couple, and then you come home and you're frustrated with each other because you don't feel like the other one is being attentive. So you've got to use the same technology. She uses a moleskin now, and I love it, and she's so cute. One of the cutest things she says now, we'll be talking, she's like, oh, write that in my moleskin. I find that very attractive. So I will. I'll put it in her moleskin. I'll write it in there. And, okay, thanks, baby. And so so she even knows, you know, how to use things in the same way that I use them. Write things down. We put it in our computer. We sync everything up. On Monday, we send one another invites, as silly as this sounds. My assistants have always sent me meeting request invites, but my wife didn't. I said, honey, just send me invites. If you need me to watch the kids because you got to go do something, it's like tonight I'm watching the kids because she needed to go get her hair done. So she said, would you do that? I need to get my hair done. Sure, I'd be happy to. Just send me an invite, you know, watch the kids, take them to Mars Hill. I'm going to get my hair done. Great. Okay, great. I know. Glad to serve. Love you. And most of the time, a lot of the frustrations in marriage where you get these fights, like you're not attentive to me, you don't love me, you're not serving me, you're not paying attention to me, I don't feel like you're here for me. A lot of that is that there's no plan. And the plans aren't synced up. And the result is people feel unloved. I would just encourage you, sync up with your spouse. And find a system that works for the two of you. This will be my last point, and then I'll give you some practical areas to discuss. Even if you need to, get a life coach. Even if it's 6 months or a year, if you don't know how to make a plan, if you don't know how to get organized, if you're just a zoo, talk to somebody who is really organized. And there are some people in Mars Hill, men, women, young, old, married, single, that really have it together. You can ask them, and they're happy to help. And it may even need to be, you just need a plan. You say, I don't know how to find a job. I'm having trouble, you know, paying off debt. My health is a wreck. You may need a life coach to actually just give you a system and hold you accountable to just get some plans enacted. And what I did as well is I put in here, this is part of something I did for Grace. Grace and I were on vacation in Central Oregon a few years ago. And I told her, I said, honey, you just really need to get your life organized. You need to plan. She said, I don't know how to. I said, okay, let me think about it then. So I got a legal yellow pad. And I just started writing down categories for Grace with questions. And on the way home from Oregon, it was like a 7 or 8 hour drive, I just said, sweetie, fill out this set of questions. I gave her a questionnaire. I know it's not romantic, but it is helpful. And I said, if you fill that out, then I can help you put together a plan, and then we can get the technology and we'll start getting everything lined up. So this kind of started it all for her and I. And so I typed those up for you. The first category I gave her was health. And I said, sweetie, think of a day down the road, maybe in a year or two or three, wherever you can reasonably see. And on that day, how do you want to answer these questions? And then let's start making plans to get there. So there were questions about health, weight and exercise and appearance and sleep and naps and Sabbath, just issues regarding to health and issues too of what do vacations and holidays look like. She and I had never even really, in the early years of our marriage, we never even had the plan put together for the holidays. So all of the family members, I don't know if you, we love our family, we're close to them, they're all in Seattle, her side and mine. I'm the oldest of five, she's the youngest of three. But they would all make holiday plans and just expect us all to be there. One year we ate three Thanksgiving dinners, which was a lot. I mean, I totally liked it, but not at about the third turkey. It's just, it's really lost some of the charm, you know? But it's because we didn't have a plan and everybody else would make plans and they just assumed we'd be there. I was like, man, we really needed a turkey plan. And so I gave her these questions of health and including holidays and rest and Sabbath, and she filled those out. The next question is practical. Where do you want to live? What kind of home should we have? Parking for guests, square footage, size of the yard, number of bedrooms. I wanted a home study. She said hardwood floors because kids always spill things. Air conditioning because 2 days a year in Seattle, it's really hot. Stuff like what kind of car do you need because we wanted to have a big family. I would ask you to ask questions like how long will your commute take? Do you know how many people waste their life in their car? The average American spends over 20,000 miles a year driving their vehicle. Unconscionable. I spend 5 or 6 thousand miles a year, and half of those are going up to the mountains in my Jeep just to have fun. You know, it's better to live near your work than have massive commuting distance. It's unbelievable. So what that led to, Gracie put together kind of the list for our home. So we moved 3 times in 5 years to get into the home we wanted. I went out after we did this, and I got her a Suburban because it's the ultimate people mover when you got 5 kids. Things like financial. Job, work, how much do you make, spend, save, invest, tithe, insurance, medical, dental. Particularly in this economic climate, some of you really need a plan for that. Marriage, how often do you pray together? When's date night? Grace and I pray together every day. We have date night every Friday, and if we can't make it on Friday, we then try to do it on Tuesday. Occasionally something comes up, so we do it on Tuesday. So it's Wednesday night, but last night we did date night. It's awesome. We do date night every week. Have for, well, we have since 1988. How do you better take care of one another? Your home, what brings you together? Issues of sexuality, just the marriage, plans. Plans. Grace and I put together plans for our bedroom. There's a little nook off our bedroom, so we put together a plan. We're going to save money for a comfy couch and a flat screen TV, and there's a fireplace in there, and we could sip wine at night, or we can drink tea and tuck the kids in bed. When you got 5 little kids, you know, you take the time you've got. So every night it's an hour or two. We get to read or watch a show and snuggle up and visit and sit by the fire. But we had to put a plan together to get that space all set up. And then we had to put a plan to get the kids in bed at a certain hour and have life put together so that every night we get a little mini date at home, just her and I snuggling up and hanging out. A family, how many kids do you want to have? There's a lot of families, they come to Mars Hill and they decide kids are a good thing and kids are amazing and we love kids and we're all for it, but you better have a plan. Like a house, a car, food, medical insurance, you've got to have a plan. Education, are you going to put them in private school? Well, can you afford that? Or you can do homeschool, you can do public school. Have you done your research? Have you looked at the options? Have you talked to people? All of that requires a plan. Extended family, your relationship with your mom, dad, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, holidays, how much access do they have to your life, how much distance do you need, friends, who are your closest friends, things like who should no longer have your email address. You're like, I do not need any more junk mail. who doesn't really need your cell phone number? Maybe it's time to change your email, change your cell phone number, get some of your life back. Learning. Do you have a plan for learning? What areas do you really want to study? What books do you want to read? What parts of the Bible do you want to know? What conferences do you want to attend? I asked Gracie to put together for learning. I'm always reading. I literally constantly have at least 100 books that I'm working through at any one time for various things that I'm working on. And I asked her, put together a list of what you really want to learn. And then let's put together a book list. And then I want you to prioritize it. And then as a present, I'm going to buy you all those books. And I'm going to buy you your own bookshelf up in our little snuggle nook. And then you could just read through those books in succession that you want to read. Just a little plan so your wife can be reading whatever it is she feels called to read. Ministry, changes, people, things, handing off. These are all things for you to look through. I would give these to you to take with you, to think through, yeah, I need to put a plan together for that area of my life. Maybe I need to start writing down ideas. I need to start asking people questions, logging onto websites, reading books, trying to figure out my plan. I'll give you a few of these questions. What top three time, emotion, and energy wasters do you need to drop right now? People that just, they're just killing you. Things that are just killing you. So I can't handle it. Time, energy, emotion, money, that just needs to go. What three changes in your life would make the biggest difference? And what is an obstacle that's keeping you by living by your convictions? Are you just cluttered? Are you disorganized? I'll tell you one of the things, as simple as it sounds, we have the five kids and they outgrow their clothes all the time. Every 15 minutes, somebody outgrows their clothes, their shoes, everything. Like literally, one day they'll get up, they'll put their shoes on, go to school. The next day they'll get up and their shoes don't fit. It just happens like that. And so Grace wanted to save clothes from the kids so that as the younger kids come up, the older they could have the clothes that were left by the older kids. We didn't have a system. So every time a kid outgrew something, it was just a mess. We're looking through piles of clothes. So as simple as bins, my wife discovered something called a label maker. Have you seen one of these things? How amazing these are. And so all the kids' clothes, after they outgrow them, she'll wash them, put them in a bin, put a label on them. You know, five-year-old boys. And I put a whole rack of shelves in the garage, and then the bin goes in. So let's say the four-year-old boy outgrows his clothes, needs the five-year-old boy clothes. Easy. It's a bin. That alone probably saves us a few $1,000 a year. Just systems for things. Plans for things. What is getting in the way of this being done for you? So here are your group questions. Now, some of you right now, you're really excited because you're these people, right? The whole label maker thing, you're like, oh, that's a good idea. I have a label maker and a backup in case the first one breaks. You're that organized, right? Some of you are like, label maker? Man, alive. I walked here because I can't even find my keys. You know, like I don't think I'm at label maker stage yet. And I want you to mentor one another in the groups. And I want you to talk and I want you to serve one another and ask these questions. I've got four. As a general rule, how are you at planning and working your plan? How are you? And be honest. You could say, you know, I'm actually pretty good at this. Some of you are like, I'm not good. I think I'm broke, but I'm not sure. And I think I'm late to meetings, but since I don't write them down, I'm never quite sure whether I'm late or not. Number two, where is your planning weakest and why? Say, I do really good with my finances, but I'm always late because I'm really bad at organizing my time. Or I'm really good at organizing my home. Everything's organized, but spiritually, I have a hard time figuring out prayer and Bible study and ministry. Where are you weakest and why? Where is your planning strongest? And why? And what can you do to plan better? I would just ask you guys to talk about, yeah, I need a plan for my health. That's the real pain point, right? I need a plan for my soul. I need time with God and stuff. I need a plan for my budget, my finances. It's totally out of whack. I need a plan for my schedule. I don't even know what I'm doing. I need a plan for my children. I don't even know what we're going to do with school or how we're going to pay for the dental work, and I haven't thought through where we're going as a family and what kind of house and car we're going to need, and yeah, I don't have a plan for that. So I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to let you discuss together. Hopefully there's some wise counsel in your groups, and they can help you make a plan. Pray through your plan. That's what the scriptures say. Seek counsel for your plan. That's what the scriptures say. Work your plan. Change your plan as God directs your steps. Father God, I do pray for my friends. God, we don't plan to have control. We don't plan to be in charge, but we plan to be good stewards. We've only got so many dollars and so many hours and so much energy and so many opportunities. And we don't want to waste them. We don't want to squander them. We want to capture them and avail ourselves to them. So God, we do ask that you would help us to plan, like Proverbs talks about, that our plans would be bathed in prayer and shaped by counsel and implemented with diligence and altered by necessity. God, I pray for my friends that they'd look at their life, their health, their diet, their exercise, their friendships, their work, their spiritual growth and ministry, their finances, their personal hygiene, their home organization, their employment, their benefits package, their retirement, their investments, whatever it might be, Lord God, where do they need a better plan? And God, I ask that you'd give them wisdom through one another in Jesus' good name. Amen.